And a very great Christmas treat for you and yours, as we are now joined by a member of the St. Louis Rams. Scott, I'm so old, I almost said Los Angeles Rams. I'm also in that holiday spirit of being totally disheveled, man. What can I say for myself? But I welcome you aboard with us today. Scott Wells, it is great to talk with you. How you doing, man?
I'm good. I appreciate you having me on.
Hey, Scott, first things first. Man, that Rick Riley special with you was really a beautiful, beautiful thing. What's the reaction been like since that's aired?
We've had very positive feedback from everybody who's seen it. And I know on Twitter, I've had a lot of comments, a lot of people reaching out, some people who are going through similar situations domestically and internationally have messaged me with some words that they were able to draw some encouragement from our story. And so basically that's what it's all about. We agreed to do the story to bring awareness to the orphan crisis worldwide, both domestic and international, and really to be able to get the feedback that we've had has really just demonstrated how that was a success, that we were able to reach out and bring some awareness to that situation.
What I think is really amazing about your story is that I got that from you. It was almost as if you guys really weren't trying to shine the light on the Wells family as much as you were what's going on across the world with regards to this very important issue. I mean, let's face it, that's a life-giving thing that you're encouraging people to get involved in there.
Absolutely, and that's the thing. There's so many kids worldwide who, you know, weren't asked to be born. They weren't asked to be put in the environment or the situation that they're in. They kind of just are shoved into it, and they've really been dealt a difficult hand. And there's a lot of people out there who are interested in helping. They just don't necessarily know how, or they don't think they have the means or the time. So my message was basically that if you have a heart for this, that there's kids in need, and if that's something you're being drawn to do, get out there, get active. You know, you can. It's little things. It's as little as just volunteering to go play with some kids at an orphanage or a foster home, and just whatever you can do. There's nothing too small or too big that you can do.
You know, and one thing, you and I share a similar faith, and you know, just the love of Christ. I mean, it just screams through your story, man.
Absolutely, and that's what I tell everybody who's asked me. You know, why would you do this? You already have three kids of your own, and you're going to take on three more, and the number one concern for a lot of people is, one, time. How do you have enough time to devote to each child to make sure that they're getting the time that they need and they deserve? And the other thing is finances, because, you know, six children growing up, it's an expense. So especially, you know, they're all going to be teenagers someday. They're all going to want to go to school, college, everything. So there's a lot that goes into it, but at the same time, I've seen people who don't have the means that I have, that weren't blessed with the paying job that I have, that have done so much more than we have done. So at the end of the day, I had some of the same questions, but then I said, okay, how many of these questions are selfish motivated concerns, or are they legitimate concerns? And at the end of the day, I just, through my faith, I know God will provide for us, and whatever I can provide for these children, it's better than the alternative. And
you know,
it's better than what they were going to have staying in the situation, the environment they were in Uganda, or, you know, children that are left in the foster care system here, or orphanages domestically. So it was just something my wife and I were drawn to do, and we decided to kind of get off the fence and reach out and finally do it. And it's been a very, very blessed situation for us since then.
Now, help me out. How far into that journey are you guys?
They came back, it's been a little over a year.
Wow.
My wife came back in, I want to say it was the end of July. I came back in June for training camp, and then she came back at the end of July. She was there almost 11 weeks. I was there for 4 weeks. So we've had the children in custody for a little over a year, almost a year and a half.
I mean, everybody that sees that story just cries, and I'm sure you have your ups and your downs in your household like everybody else.
Right.
How tough has it been trying to blend your families and just, you know, everyday life?
I mean, it's, there's good days and bad days, and mm-hmm. you know, good times and bad times. But I know there's those things with, you know, biological children. Mm-hmm. You have good days and bad days, and to me, there hasn't really been anything that was different as far as you know. Obviously, when you adopt a child who's already 5 or 6, and they've already have a little bit of a past that you don't fully understand yet, there's some issues that come up with trying to gain their trust and have them open up to you and know that this is a permanent situation, and that, you know, you're their mom and dad, and that they're not going to go back to the orphanage. And but really what has helped has been the tremendous support we have from our friends back home in the Nashville area, and then our biological children. I've just been amazed and blown away with how big the hearts are of our biological children, and how easily they opened up and accepted 3 new siblings into their lives. And that was my major concern going into this, is that, okay, we have 3 children at home who we already have a history with that understand the family dynamic as is, and we're about to just disrupt that whole family dynamic and bring in 3 new siblings that are going to be on an equal playing field with the 3 biological children. And I was concerned with how they would respond, more so than how my wife and I would respond. And we've been blessed. I mean, my oldest, he's 10, and he has been a huge help. And I mean, he plays with his 3 little brothers and his sisters, and really has just opened up his heart. And it's just, I mean, it's been much better than anything we could have anticipated.
You know, I've got 14-year-old twins myself, but certainly nothing like what you've got brewing in your household on a daily basis, Scott. But I can't imagine for you what it's like when you see your 10-year-old not behave like a 10-year-old, but behave unselfishly, behave lovingly toward invaders, essentially, who are now siblings. But at first, you know, those that are on his turf, that's a God thing, man. I love celebrating. I love hearing that. I mean, you're making my Christmas here, sharing your story with us.
No, he's definitely, God is behind this 100%. And there's no way my wife and I would have been able to do this without our faith. And we were told going into it that, I remember the director of the orphanage in Uganda told us that God, or that this situation will test our faith to its core, just because of the uncertainty of adopting internationally and being in a foreign country as, you know, your guest in their country. You have no rights. And going through this process and breaking down language barriers and cultural barriers, and you know, it was a very difficult, trying time to go through the process and not knowing what was going to happen, and then, you know, going through 2 different governments essentially to get this done and to bring our children home, and then you add to it the complexity of blending a family with different histories and different life experiences. Even though they're young, they have been through some different life experiences, and you know, it's amazing to see how God blends it all together and makes it our normal.
Isn't that great? And I love it, man. And the thing, and see, here's the thing, Scott. We're not talking sports today. We're not talking football, which we could easily do that with you. You've played forever in the NFL, but I just want to celebrate this with you today, that, you know, at the end of the day, something you know and I know, which is that playing career of yours is fleeting. God's put you on that stage, though, and you're taking your time, your resources, and you're sharing this with the world. What an impactful thing that truly is. I mean, that is something worth celebrating, isn't it?
Absolutely. And, you know, an NFL career is definitely temporary, and it definitely will set me up for whatever I do with the rest of my life professionally. But at the same time, it's a tremendous platform to be on, and really gives myself and other guys who are very active in community and through charities, it gives us a platform to reach out to a lot of people. You know, football is a fantastic sport, large fan base, a lot of opportunities to really showcase what you're about and your faith, or in some cases, other lifestyle situations, but yeah. This is something that I've really taken. You know, this is my 10th year, and I like to stay out of the media and keep my mm-hmm. family private.
Mm-hmm.
Because anytime you open yourself up, then you open yourself up for the bad as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't like to expose my family to the bad that comes along. So it's been difficult to be open about this, but at the same time, it is, you know, there's a window closing that you can really have an impact. And I've learned through other families that I know in our support group who have done adoptions, or they just help out with orphan care, that it's important to get the word out there. And it's important for people to see that this can be done, that there's really not a good reason not to be involved. And I just tell people, if there's something on your heart, don't put it off. Just go out there, have faith, dive into it head first, and see what God does with it. And that's what we've done, and that's what so many of our friends back home have done. And it's, you know, it pays huge dividends spiritually. So it's been a true blessing for us.
Because your story truly was that you never dreamed you'd have three children adopted, did you?
No.
That was not the original
intent,
right?
We talked about it years ago.
Yeah.
And we were going to adopt one at that time, and then one grew to two over the years. And, you know, going into this process, for anyone who hasn't seen the story, we started to adopt two boys, and then they found a sibling. So two went to three during the adoption process. So it was kind of pretty quick how it all kind of went that way. And my wife and I just said, no, this is God at work. Had we been approached with the three initially, we probably would have said no, because it would have been overwhelming. But the way it worked out, I said, that's definitely God orchestrating this and leading us down this path.
So how do you have the energy? At the end of a day, you work hard, you've got to be practicing a lot, and your body's all beat up. You said 10 years in that league. I can't imagine how many car crashes that equals. You can't be feeling good much of the time. How do you do fatherhood against that backdrop, Scott?
I've always prided myself on leaving work at work. And my wife might say, you know, when we're together in alone time, sometimes work will come up because, you know, as your spouse, they're your mm-hmm. confidant, and you
That's right.
tend to vent certain mm-hmm. things mm-hmm. to your spouse.
Mm-hmm.
But when it's around my children, as far as they're concerned, there's never a bad day at work. And I just really try to leave work at work. And when I'm home, I'm dad. And, you know, I'm dad and I'm a husband, and really try to focus on separating the two. But at the same time, when I'm at work, I try to incorporate my kids, and it's very important for me to have them involved in as much as I can. I know the year we went to the Super Bowl, my son, actually my oldest, rode the team bus back to the hotel with us and went up on stage when we were acknowledged at the team party. He got to hold the Lombardi Trophy for a good 5 minutes on the bus. And it's important to me to include my kids in this, because, as I said before, you know, the window is closing. It's not open very long, and I want them to be able to enjoy everything they can, because the memories is what it's all about. Down the road, he'll remember holding the trophy, and that's not something every kid gets to do. So it's very important to include them as much as I can, but at the same time, when I'm at home, leaving work at work.
Couple of thoughts for you here, and I really do appreciate your time at this Christmas season. It's an amazing story. One thing I wondered is, as you've opened yourself up, the reaction from other guys around the league, as you've played games now and your story's getting out there, and ESPN's really run that thing and run it a whole bunch. They ran it a whole bunch over Thanksgiving. What's the reaction been like for you, Scott, from your peers around the league?
It's been very positive. Haven't had any negative reaction from teammates or colleagues in this profession. And it's just been very positive. I've been blessed, for one, to be on a team and an organization that did an excellent job of keeping it quiet while I was going through the process.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I joined a new team as I was going through this process. And we didn't want it really leaked to the media what I was doing while we were doing it, just because what if something goes wrong, then you have to explain.
Mm-hmm.
We wanted to wait until everything had gone through. So the organization I'm working with, you know, the Rams, they've been very supportive. My teammates have been very positive and supportive. And then just throughout the league, I think there's a lot of guys who have a heart for this and a heart for kids. And anything you can do to help children in any way, they're all for it, and it's been very positive.
One of the reasons I'd imagine you wanted to keep a low profile on it as well is, let's face it, when you start dealing with other governments, municipalities, sometimes things are not, and I've heard stories, not always on the up and up, especially if they figure out that, hey, you're this professional athlete, you've got a little bit of money. Was that ever a concern of yours as all this went down?
It was a concern going in, just knowing the issues that international adoption bring up, and that there are, unfortunately, you know, situations where people ask for bribes in various countries, or you know, I fortunately worked with an orphanage that was very set on not paying any bribes, doing everything by the book, and that's one reason we chose to work with the orphanage that we did. And it was very important for me and my wife to do this as straight-laced and 100% legal as possible, because you never know, if once you go down that road of bending the rules and it comes up, then it's, you know, there's really no way to get out of it as far as the media backlash. And so it was very important for us to follow it, everything to the letter of the law, not pay any bribes, and really no matter how long it took, just work at it, have faith in God that He would see us through it and make sure we were doing it the right way.
From one volunteer to another, man, I am so proud of you and your story, and you've made my Christmas. And I think that of a lot of other folks by sharing your story with us. If somebody wants to get involved in international adoption, point someone in the right direction.
I know what my wife did was she actually found through some friends, because where we go, where we live in Nashville, we have a lot of friends who are very involved with it, and we have some friends who run the 147 million orphan charity. That's what it's called, 147 million orphans. And they do a lot of work in you know, Haiti, Uganda, Honduras, various areas of building orphanages, helping families who are going through the process, and really a lot of outreach and staying active in these communities that are kind of some of the roughest in the world. And so that was one resource we had. And then my wife, what she did was she just kind of researched and found various orphanages once we had narrowed down which country we were looking at. And she just contacted the orphanages direct, and she emailed them, and she kept emailing and hounding them until we got a response. And once we went over there, then we were able to meet other people who do it, who are very active in that type of work. And but at the same time, I stress people, I really stress that if your heart's in domestic, helping domestically, that there's a need there too, and there's a huge need here within the U.S. And you know, a lot of people don't have the means to go international and help out that way. But there's kids here. There's kids inside the U.S. and there's kids in every town that need help. And there's kids in the foster system that, you know, would love a family, and or they would just love, you know, someone to come hang out with them and let them feel loved and wanted and special. And that's another area. I know here there's an adoption and foster coalition that we donate tickets to, so kids who wouldn't get to go to a football game will have the opportunity to come to a football game. And just anything that we can do to bring a smile to their face and give them a memory, something special, then that's what I say. Just go out there, find what's in your community if that's where your heart's at. Otherwise, there's a lot of good charities that help internationally. Just make sure it's a reputable charity and get involved.
Hey, Scott, I want to wish you a Merry Christmas, man, and my best to your family and your lovely wife as well. Just a great story. You touched so many hearts, man. Job well done.
I appreciate it. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. And once again, we'll come back. Thank you to Scott Wells as we continue after this.